from the Bill's Famous Cheese Spread Studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Behind me, keeping track of our time, looking up any pertinent information we might have, and dare I say, someone who I assume is working on two or three poems at this particular time, since we haven't had one in a while. Dang. He is the Poet Laureate.
He's throwing shots.
Of the Blockout Sports Pod. You know him as Mr. Electricity. I call him Whiteboard Jody. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country, Matt Kemp. And bellied up to the bar is a man that apparently is looking to qualify for the U.S. Open tennis tournament this week with his Nike Rafa headband and his, shall we say, off-brand Alabama jersey.
Walmart.
Yeah, he bought that at a gas
Walmart,
station.
Walmart, Birmingham.
That's a gas station jersey.
He's the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
You're like a broke-down superhero.
Hey, dude, I got to save money on them Bama jerseys, dude. The numbers change. You know, when you win a championship, they change. They go from 16 to 17 to 18.
It's
so
not just
I can't afford to continue to get new jerseys. So I go to Walmart in Birmingham on our way to Florida. And my wife sits in the car, and I'm like, be back in 30. And I go in there and just absolutely crush the Bama section. And I also pick up shirts in the Auburn section and drop them on the ground. And
when I was at your house Saturday, you had a jersey on that said Henry Ruggs the Third, I think.
Well, it said Uggs. I took the R off.
I didn't remember Uggs.
The R goes back on when he's done his due diligence.
His due diligence or his time?
His time.
Okay. I'm sure he's got plenty of time to study and do his due diligence in right now. But
I know.
Guys, great to have everybody back this week after a very interesting week zero, which we are going to get into here in just a minute. Want to remind everybody, if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend. Give us a download, give us a 5-star review if you really enjoy the show. Mm. I did notice a pretty nice little bump in download numbers for this week. I'm going to assume that that was because it's college football season. And week zero came and went. We talked about not just the big game, but a lot of the other games relative to what we thought was going to happen. I think if you listened to our betting advice for week zero, you probably have a little bit to play with. A
little jingle in your pocket.
Yeah, you have a little bit of a little bit of a bankroll.
It's a good way to start the season before week one even starts, and you got a little playing around.
Maybe. I love it.
Yeah, Tuna, what did you think about not just – and I wanted to start with you because you were the one guy, not that we all didn't agree to a certain extent, but you really started us down the path that you thought Florida State might be a little bit overranked or highly ranked for where they actually were to begin this season. We watched that game together. It was fantastic.
And he was on Georgia Tech hard.
Yes. How did you feel about that game and then other things going forward in week zero?
Well, I think with Florida State, you're going to see this a lot. When you have a team that's loaded up with transfers and new players that are playing together, your first game especially is a little tough out of the gate for defense. And when you're going against a team full of veterans like Georgia Tech, because they're synchronized, man.
Right.
They're picking right up where they left off, and they're going in. And Florida State, all these guys are learning to play with each other. That's a bad way to learn. Honestly, that's kind of why you start with a cupcake or two to get those put away. I think Florida State, they're not going to be as bad as what people think. I mean, we had some of those same issues with DJ, which I know Jerry called this. Like, he just couldn't push the ball downfield when they had guys open. They were open downfield, man.
They were.
And they were running around. And he, I don't know if he's just, if he doesn't see the field, if he's, like, reluctant to throw the ball, but, like, he couldn't get the ball downfield for whatever reason. And then
– and Jalen Lucas started that game. I went back and watched it. I didn't get to watch.
He had a great first drive.
I watched some of it, too. Yeah, he had a good –
And then all of a sudden, it very much – I hate to say this, but it really reminded me of him with Indiana, where they just couldn't figure out a way to get him the ball. And I don't know if it's that the quarterback can't get the ball far enough down the field with his speed, or it seems like they ought to be able to figure out a way to get him, you know, the ball in space, but they just didn't. Interesting.
Yeah. How they manhandled the line on both sides was like the most impressive part.
They really did, didn't they?
Yeah.
Georgia Tech's offensive line, in my opinion, was part of the MVP besides their game plan and the way they played. They just pushed that defensive line of Florida State all over the place.
I will say there's going to be a lot on film because Florida State did some good things. They just couldn't capitalize on it. And it was a little too late for, like, early on, the way that they was running the ball and moving it. But Georgia Tech caught up to that quick. I think Florida State's going to rebound this week and really give hell to Boston College. I'd kind of hate to be Boston College this week. Still not high on Florida State. I don't think they're a playoff team, but they're better than what they looked. And Georgia Tech,
watch out.
I'm with you, but I'm like looking at them and I'm like,
three-headed monster running the football.
They can run the ball like that, but I feel like if they played against a defense that was a little bit more organized, and like they were forced to throw the ball downfield a little bit themselves, that's what I want to see from Georgia Tech before I buy 100% in with them.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. Either way, both of them are going to be fun to watch.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
No, I agree with everything you said. I mean, I expected, I was really looking to see how Malik Benson, the starting wide receiver, transferred from Bama, Roydell Williams, the running back transfer from Bama, they all started. I think Malik had like two catches, I'm not saying it's his fault. He couldn't get the ball.
Exactly.
But he drops balls too. He's had that, through his career so far. And then Roydell couldn't get going either, you know?
He had that great first drive, and then it just went downhill after that.
Both first drives from both teams were impressive. And we're like, we got us a game here. And then I think just momentum continued on from, like you said, Georgia Tech. They just got that momentum. And you and I love their coach. I mean, we all love their coach.
He's awesome, man.
And, you know, I love – did you see the interview at the end? What did he say they asked him?
He just laughed. She said, being a former offensive lineman, how'd you feel about controlling the line of scrimmage? And he just goes, run the ball.
Right. Well, at first he goes, are you kidding me?
That's what he said. He laughed.
Then he goes, run. But, dude, yeah. And, hey, I mean, they're going to be a – they're going to be an issue for some teams.
I totally agree.
In that conference. They are on the upper echelon. They are moving to the upper echelon. And I thought it was a fun game. It was a great game, too. I mean, it did go down to the end. I did lose the under at halftime on a 59-yard field goal with no time on the clock with the guy already down. But no, we won money with Tuna. We followed Tuna's take. We all went with Georgia Tech. I hit on the under at the end of the game, which is another great thing. And I'm like Travis. I watched the game later on that night when I just watched some of bits and pieces of it. And everything you said is spot on.
Yeah, that was. It was a lot of fun. I mean, all three of those games came down to...
they did.
Yeah, it came right down to it, man.
And that was a great thing, is that it's not like any of these other games had any sort of meaning to the, you know, the playoff or anything like that. But it was just great to have football back, and it was great to have games that mattered come down to the final play or the final drive or whatever. I know we had talked about the SMU game, and the way that game finished out was crazy.
Crazy.
So I think we found out in that one that wind is SMU's kryptonite.
Yeah. So I think you're right.
I think we're just going to set up big wind machines whenever they come to town.
It was crazy. That game seemed to last forever.
I don't think I was pulling for a team to lose more than I wanted SMU to lose.
Your text messages were hilarious.
I didn't think they deserved to win.
And I took Nevada in the game before the game, and I also had the under and the first half under. Which Jody and I was high-fiving him when I hit that first half under. But, dude, Nevada, hell, I live bet them in the second half. And I was like, I'm just going with them. They're in this game to the end. And I got 14. I think the spread was 28. I got 14.
That's great.
But, dude, but SMU got the win. Mm-hmm. And that, in the locker room, that matters. You know, you got Florida State with one loss. SMU comes in. They think they're going to blow out this Nevada team, who I think was 9-3 last year?
Were they that?
Someone told me that they had a winning record.
No, I think
record.
The year before that.
Was it the year before that?
Before
okay.
They were good, but I think this was like a full-on.
But that's another team you need to look at that came out of the gates playing well.
Mm-hmm. I think they were kind of predicted to be like one of the bottom. Them and New Mexico both were kind of predicted to be bottom feeders in Division One.
Right.
And New Mexico actually looked somewhat scrappy. I mean, granted, they were playing a FCS school. But it is a FCS school that plays like, I think they played in the championship game last year, but they're always in those Final Fours.
I kind of dug the coach of Nevada.
Oh, did you?
Like, I thought he kind of reminded me of the Lions coach. Like,
oh, damn
it. Like, he was kind of over there on the sideline, and I could just almost see him when they interviewed him at halftime. They were like, how are you doing this? I could almost hear him going, well, we bit their kneecaps off in the first half. I mean, he didn't say that, but I could almost see it. He kind of felt like that kind of guy to me. So I am going to pay attention to them. They may be horrible. That may be their best played game of all season. But I very much enjoyed it.
And we got a little glimpse for a half hour of Tarleton State, even.
We did.
Them and McNeese.
McNeese. I mean, we were switching anything you could find. If there's a break in the action, you got to find something else.
Lake Charles versus Billy Gillespie University.
Yes, Billy G.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. And I think somebody here mentioned it last week. I had forgotten by the time the game started that Billy Clyde was the coach of
Tarleton?
Tarleton State.
I think at one point I said Tarkington State because they were purple. They looked like the Vikings.
I mean, that's just Tarleton
remember State.
As anything is. So was there anything else during this week zero? I know you mentioned a little bit ago, Tuna, about the Hawaii game. And last week we weren't sure that the game was going to happen. The game ended up happening. And what happened?
I have no
game?
Idea. I didn't even watch this game.
I
know actually, Delaware covered
the
spread.
I have no idea.
That's what I was going to get at.
Really?
But it was a 40-point spread.
It was.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I didn't look at that game at all because I wasn't sure they were going to play it.
I was passed out by the time they kicked off.
Right. So. I was singing
the game
karaoke.
Did kick off around midnight. They did cover. I was just pleased that the game was actually happening. I wasn't sure that was going to happen because of what we had talked about before. But with all that being said about week zero, now we're going full bore into a week one that has some games with real implications for the rest of the season.
Mm.
Our local teams notwithstanding, I think all of our local teams, if you're a listener, know who we all root for, and we went through that. None of our teams have a game that is going to affect anything. But
I think we got some nice warm-up games. This is what you want to do.
Right.
Week one, I mean, it is wide open. And we've got a bunch of games with a bunch of implications. And I'll just throw it out to the floor. What games are you guys mostly looking forward to this weekend and things that you guys think that you might see going forward?
All right, let's all just we'll pick one game here.
All right.
With me, oh, wow. It's got to be Notre Dame, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
I think that is the one with the most juice to it because this is Notre Dame's biggest test, I feel like, of the year. Going down to College Station.
Now, have they even been there before?
I don't think so. Man, maybe back in like 1950 something.
Down there.
Yeah, mean that's that they're not playing against stuff like that in the ACC. That's an environment on its own,
right?
And I just they get through this one, they kind of have a clear path to the playoff. That's what's so big about this game. Now they can still lose it and get in,
right?
That's for sure. But, like, their strength of schedule, like, especially with Florida State losing,
yeah,
it's taken a hit already.
Yeah.
So, like, they're kind of going to need a big win against a big opponent like
right,
that.
Right. And they have been – their motors have been – as I've been saying about Notre Dame, man, the coach has now been there 3 or 4 years. They've continued to win. They're moving their way up. And I feel like this is their best team they've ever had. Now, they are beat up. On the offensive line.
That's my
like,
biggest concern,
like you
man.
Said.
False start penalties in that environment with a young offensive line.
Yeah, and new quarterback coming in. Don't know how he's going to mesh. And then you got, I know you're a huge Elko guy, and he wants to set the standard right away. And
what's
man.
Funny, there's a couple things in this game that are rematches of last year when Notre Dame went to Duke. Duke upset him. Elko beat Notre Dame while he was at Duke with the quarterback that will be starting
will
for
be
Notre
starting
Dame.
For Notre Dame.
Yeah, he's playing against his old coach.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
There's a couple things to watch out. This is, I think, easily the biggest game of the day. What's your big game, Fred?
My big game is I'm going to go with little old Clemson at versus Georgia in Atlanta. You know, Georgia, I mean, heck, we've talked about it the last 2 weeks, and then you watch game day on Saturday, and you're like, man, I can't wait, game day's on. And you're watching it, and they're doing all the rundowns and everything, and they're like, who's going to win the SEC? There's, what, five of them up there? Georgia, 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 mm-hmm. Georgia. I was shocked by that. I mean, I thought someone would have someone else, like maybe
Texas?
Ole Miss. Maybe Texas, and I was shocked that it was just bam, bam, and I'm talking about, you know, they even had them to win the whole thing, some of them did, and then they're Big Ten guys. They didn't even have Ohio State, Dez or Herbstreit, and I'm like, man. So little old Clemson comes in, as we've talked about, pizza party, loyal coach, with his players, quarterback, sophomore slump. Is he going to do something as a junior here? I'm not sure how the wide receivers are, but they have been recruiting great.
They've got some
for
talent
years.
At the wide
They've
spot.
Got people in there. And it'll be interesting to see how his offensive and defensive coordinators that he's so loyal to that have not really reached the heights that Vegetables and some of the other guys have. So, I mean, it's going to be a great test. Carson Beck at Georgia's purring. People are acting like they're going to drum them. I have a full question mark on this game.
I think this game has the potential to be a Freddie Bender special.
I think Georgia could win this. Oh, yeah. I like the under on all early games, unless you have a high-powered offense that crushed it last year.
Well, I guess Georgia
and
suffered
like
a big injury.
New players.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Running back. So they're going to be starting a true freshman running back. Granted, this kid's probably got more stars next to his name than
ETN is out.
ETN's out. And then the other guy's out.
ETN suspended a game.
Yeah. He's not playing.
Right.
But then the other guy's out.
Yeah.
So they've got a true freshman.
So we'll see how Carson Beck can move around there without.
And that's one thing I'll give Clemson is they do have a solid defensive front. They have a solid, you know. Georgia's going to have to kind of earn it through the air against them in this game.
I think Clemson, we're going to find out who their running back option for the year is. The one kid's not back, right?
No, it's Phil Maffa. Okay. Is back. Is he
in the Mafia?
Yes. I don't think he is, but I don't think if you're in the Mafia, then you just go by Mafia in your name.
You couldn't be in the
Mafia. Most people...
Yeah, you couldn't be in the Mafia if you go to little old Clemson anyway.
Elliot Ness, like in court, they go, "How did you know that he was in the Mafia?" They go, "Well, he called himself Jimmy Mafia."
Yeah, and by the way, if there's an Elliot Ness in the league, it's Dabo. Yeah. Okay, he's definitely on the other side of the Mafia.
Yeah, UK fans are very familiar with Phil Maffa. He's the one that ran against him in the bowl game because Will Shipley sat out, and he looked amazing.
Okay,
yeah, he did. He ran really well. He's a good running back.
But dude, Clemson's gonna travel. Georgia's gonna be there. They got the chip on their shoulder. Mm-hmm. I love watching Dabo in these games. Y'all know I got this love affair with him. I love watching him in these games, and I can't wait. And
I wish it was a noon game.
I know.
I think this is a 3:30 special.
Yes.
This is you put the Miami Florida game on at noon because like that's getting a lot of hype, and that's the Penn State West Virginia. That feels like a noon game.
Right.
And then you go into Clemson Georgia at 3:30 and follow that up with Notre Dame.
The cookie has crumbled. Look at Travis over there with a smirk on his face.
I mean, you've got to know that the 3:30 game on any given Saturday is going to be the best Big Ten game of the week.
And you know who it is? Rutgers, Maryland, I think.
No, it can't be. Rutgers plays Howard on Thursday.
Don't forget, when I hear that SEC sound on the Big Ten 3:30, I'm going to have to get a wet towel and put it around my neck.
Just don't even watch. Just don't even have the TV on there.
I don't even know what the new SEC.
We're going to find out Saturday.
Yeah, we're going to find out at 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find what the...
I hope it's big and rich.
I know what. 3:30 national television.
Gary and Brad.
Ohio State and Akron. Oh, my God. Oh,
Jesus.
Let's go.
Akron.
What a nightmare.
That's so funny. Anyone else got a... y'all got another game that y'all are looking forward to?
I'm excited to watch that Miami Florida game. Wow.
Yes.
I love that one.
Yes. And that's the 3:30.
That game to start off with and then go into the SEC blows my mind. Let's see what Florida's made of. I think Miami walks out with a win. I want to go back to Clemson for a minute.
Okay.
You know how when you rate something like, but on a scale of 1 to 10, a 7 or an 8, we're not going to do that with Clemson football this year. They're going to have a pizza rating.
Slices?
Oh, like your boy on Barstool. Oh. Yeah.
Stone, Jets.
Right.
So what's the top one? What's the best pizza?
Well, that's what I'm asking you. What's the best pizza and what rating would you give them this year?
My favorite is the Post, but I may be a little biased.
The Post pizza.
That's
my
favorite.
I'm going – so we're not going other states like Chicago Deep Dish.
Let's just go local.
I'm going to put Clemson as – and I can't put them at the Post because that is my favorite.
That's top pizza.
I'm going to put them at a pizza that I really like, and it's one of our past – one of our good friends, rest in peace, but – they have a pizza from one of our good friends that passed years ago, The Gibbon. and it is it is DiOrio's.
That's a lot of love.
And it is a huge pizza with everything on it.
So that's like second from and the that, top in the post.
Yeah.
See, I feel like I would put Clemson at a Papa John's because they used to rule the pizza kingdom. You know, they were the top dog.
That's a good, yeah.
And then they ran into a few issues, and
okay,
now they're struggling to build their reputation back
right,
up.
Right.
All right, so they're Papa John's a 5 right now. Let's see if we can get them up.
All right,
let's
do that. I like that. I like that. I mean, we have to base them on pizza.
I'll tell you guys, really a game that I'm looking very forward to on Thursday night, and we talked about it outside, and I didn't realize that the game was actually being played at this school's home building. That's North Carolina at Minnesota.
Yes.
The game is
Thursday
in Minneapolis at whatever Target Field or whatever they call that place. Thursday at 8 p.m.
Thursday at 8.
I think that game has a lot of implications for because I know a lot of people are wondering what North Carolina is going to have this year, but I got to tell you, I'm wondering what Minnesota's going to have.
Those are
year.
Easily two middle of the pack teams, don't you think? Like upper echelon, middle of the pack, possible bowl game teams.
They definitely could
yeah.
be. They definitely could be.
And do they not seem even Steven to you, Travis? Just
oh, I think
on...
so. I mean, the line is Minnesota is a 2-point underdog at home.
Okay.
Do with that
really?
Information what you will.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
I know that I'm going to touch on that at the end of the show tonight.
I can assure you that I'm betting the under in that game because Minnesota is an under team for me. Great defense.
It's
a solid defense.
It's 49.5.
Oh, you know. I'm all over it. I mean, I'm all over it.
Apparently, we just made our first bet of the night. Freddie knows he's going under 49.
And I'll be honest with you, I don't know a lot about North Carolina. I know Drake May's gone.
Omari Hampton's
we know
back.
That Omari Hampton.
They're going to be running two quarterbacks.
O. Hampton is a quality Heisman hopeful running back. And what about, don't they have a good receiver back?
Yes, yeah, they have.
They
I
always
think second
have receivers.
Team. Yeah,
that
this
make
guy
it to the NFL. You know,
he was there last year. I think he got hurt a little bit and couldn't play. And then he—it's like almost like he went out right when Tez Walker came in.
Okay,
and but yeah, it's. I don't know. That's going to be fun to watch. I'm not sure what to make of North Carolina yet.
I'm not either. And
now, if you watch the ACC network, you would think that North Carolina is going to win the national championship. The way that
okay.
they talk on there.
Right.
But,
and you know the Gophers, they are yeah. stout defense, run the football.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go back to this Miami-Florida game for a minute because mm-hmm. I know you want to talk about Miami a
yeah.
little bit. You know you're amped up about that. I'm maybe leaning the other way on this one.
You know, I feel like there's a lot of momentum kind of shifting. I thought that this spread would go haywire. So I got it early, and I did it again early, and it has stayed steady.
What
Eddie.
Is it?
Florida or Miami's favored by 2.5.
Okay.
I feel like this is at least a 9-point spread. I don't know. Look.
Could this be a wide right game?
No, this is I think people are overthinking this. At the end of the day, like Billy Napier and Graham Mertz, the tag team duo is back again. And I don't know how they're going to – if you want to bet, take the under 4.5 win total for Florida. Take a look at that schedule and let me know where they're going to get 5 wins.
No, I hear you.
It's not possible.
I'm with you.
But
that doesn't have nothing to do with that game.
No, well, it does because they're not going to win this game.
Like, okay.
I think Cam Ward, a lot of people are like, well, he had some games where he was off at Washington State and he's never played in an environment like the Swamp before. Look.
No, he's a stud. And they're running back.
I know Corvallis, Oregon is not the Swamp. I think that place only seats like 40,000 people. Mm. But that is the craziest environment that you'll ever see in college football. But anyway, the Swamp, it is what it is. The reality is, they don't have the talent to keep up with Miami. This is a loaded team.
It is
talent-wise.
You're right.
And if there's going to be talk about Miami, like, being in the playoff and winning the ACC, then you can't be scared to go play the 13th ranked SEC team.
Right, I get it.
You know what I mean?
They're not going to be scared.
This should be cut and dry.
It will be loud.
But this is going to come down to, again, a team with a lot of new faces that it may be a little discombobulated at first, but I think once they get rolling and then the talent kind of wears in, Miami will take this.
Fourth quarter, yeah. With a running back that's so good that they got now.
But for a less than a field goal spread.
I think what's happening with me is I'm doing the SEC Homer thing that y'all hate, and I just don't like – I've never liked Miami. That goes back from the 1992 National Championship. Well, with Bama and Miami, and I just don't like Miami.
You guys won that game.
We did. Yeah. But they talk more smack.
Well,
all
it's
week
Miami.
And,
it's what they
and
do.
On the field while they were getting smacked. I just asked George Teague.
But if you go back to like the SEC, Homer thing, you can go back to the start of last season when all the SEC teams were getting beat in all their non-conference games. You know what I mean? Early on. And we were all like, oh, my gosh, this is crazy.
I think a smart bettor is going to put their money on Miami at that spread and cover.
That's kind of where I feel like it's almost too simple and too good to be true.
Right.
But I don't want to overthink it. I'm just going to take the better team and the -2.5.
It makes sense. Total
It's less
sense.
Than a field goal, man. Give it to me all day.
Right.
And then a game that we haven't mentioned yet. Penn State going to West Virginia on that campus.
What time is that at?
I think it's at noon. We've
really?
Got a loaded
Damn.
Noon slate, man.
Okay, yeah. Wow. So we're going to have three TVs on Clemson, Georgia, U of L, and Penn State, West Virginia. What do you think about that one? Because, God, that's a I didn't even have that listed here.
I think if it was a night game, it'd be different, but it's 8.5 points.
Is it at Penn State? Or
no,
at
it's at West Virginia.
Man, and them, that place. Are they not a noon? They've always been one of them noon games.
Dude, they're going to be drunk dominators. Starting midday Friday and primed up by noon when they go in. Their couches will be burnt. Everything's going to be
Nittany
burnt.
Those Nittany Lions fans will be scared in that place.
I would not travel there if I was a Penn State fan. You stay away. They're going to be throwing batteries. They're going to do all kinds of stuff. Like, I mean, they're basically – they're worse than Bengals fans.
Oh,
it's like
oh
way worse
God.
Than Bengals fans. So
is
it's
that possible?
It is. It's a scary environment. Like,
dude, I know a lot of fans are like, I ain't going back to West Virginia.
No, don't ever go there. But it's.
I think they beat up like senior citizens there. I'm just.
Oh, I mean, they don't judge on age. Like they could care less how old you are, how young you are. I don't know.
Maybe they don't beat them up. They just kind of push them around.
Yeah, I mean, they're just, take their beers
God,
from them.
God, I mean, it's a rowdy place. Let's be real.
But they have a monorail.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's cool.
Mr. Electricity, did you have something to say about this?
The West Virginia game?
Yeah.
No, I've actually been to my old college roommate. He was from West Virginia. He took me home, watched the game one time. It is – I was speechless. It's scary. Yeah, I mean, you better be on West Virginia's side if you go in that stadium.
I hear you.
Yeah, and they don't want to hear that the song Country Roads was not written about West Virginia and that it was written about Western Virginia. Just be like, great song, guys.
This is how scary it is. Tuna brought it up, burning couches. They have – try to eliminate that, and technically now it is a felony if you get caught lighting a couch.
Yeah,
and guess what?
Like they care about felonies.
Hundreds of them still get lit.
There'll never be a graduate of West Virginia that ever gets a real job or can vote in an election from now to the end of time.
Well,
now that's a felony.
I never saw anybody get arrested, put it that way.
The cops are giving them lighter fluid. What are you talking about?
I wanted to ask you guys, there is one game between a Power Four and a Group of Five on Thursday that is intriguing to me because of the spread. And that's Illinois opening their season at home against Eastern Illinois. That game is at 9 o'clock on Thursday night. And that game is a pick 'em.
Really?
That game is a pick 'em.
Well, a lot of people are saying Bielema has that no Bielema love. Is depleted. A lot of people.
Last season, it took a miracle for Illinois to win that game. This year, I think people expect Illinois to be a little bit better. But the fact that Vegas has this game as a pick is intriguing to me. Do you guys have any thoughts about that game at all?
I have zero thoughts on that game. I mean, I had no idea.
I don't know much about Illinois. I just know that they really were depleted. And I think I have them in my Big Ten as the 16th best team.
I'll be honest.
Out of 18.
I forget that they're even a football program sometimes.
I mean, now don't forget, last year or year before last, they were fairly decent. They had a good defense. They had those corners that play in the NFL now. Mm-hmm. They were pretty good. And
I just remember Rashad Mendenhall. Other than that, I don't know anything about them.
But they are definitely one of the more – they are low on my Big Ten scale. So I would say that a team coming in there trying to beat them, like Eastern Illinois in a semi
Oh, it's a huge rivalry.
Rivalry.
For them,
okay,
obviously.
Right.
And the fact that they have it laid out as a pick 'em game, I mean, that says a lot to me.
No, and, yeah, that does.
And I may be getting back to that.
Whoa. That's negative 28 points. Illinois favored by 28.
Oh, that's not what I just saw.
Eastern Illinois, 9 p.m. Saturday night.
Let me look at this again. I says,
well, then give me Eastern Illinois and the points. What's the under on that? No.
45.
It says zero PK.
I just don't think they've put a spread on it yet on what you're looking at.
I can't find it anywhere. I can't find that
game. I've got it on Odd Shark right here, and it's going to send me to all the sportsbook spreads on it.
And while you are...
Oh, and quite frankly, I think this might be a mistake that I'm... Because the article that I was looking at said in last year's opener, Illinois needed an improbable fourth down conversion in order to beat... Not Eastern Illinois, Toledo.
So
apparently there was a mistake in the a glitch in the machine.
Well, I clicked on the game to find out more info on it, and the website was like, "You really want to know more about this game?" So
I still have on CBS Sportsline the over under at 44.5.
Yeah, I got 45 right here.
And Eastern Illinois and Illinois is a pick. But you're probably right. They probably just haven't
It's 28.
Made that game live yet. So,
but I do think
there may have been a technical difficulty in this show, which glitched this entire thing that I just talked about. So this may not be eligible for anyone to listen to. We'll see by tomorrow.
But I do think I do think that if you want to look at that Penn State West Virginia, I like the over in that one. Okay,
that's what the nerds have.
That's what the nerds have.
And a game that we didn't that hasn't been mentioned yet here is this is a Thursday night, 8 o'clock on Fox, Big Fox, or no, this is ESPN. North Dakota State traveling to Boulder, Colorado.
Woo! Let's talk about this one.
10-point spread.
I don't know, man.
It's a
10 right now. I bet North Dakota State the other day at 9.5, and I'm almost kind of talking myself into Colorado at this point because there's been a lot of crap falling around Colorado.
Is your bet personal?
Huh?
Is your bet personal?
The bet I made earlier was maybe a little personal, but see, I like Deion. I just am a little bit on Deion fatigue right now.
Well, everybody is. I mean, good Lord, if you've been listening to the national news and from Stephen A. and Feinbaum and everyone, the big topic, as we all know, is the reporter. And I think that adds even more pressure. I do think that Colorado's now backed into a corner where they're like got a fight to get out.
He's been doing that all off season. And if you listen to him, like the way he talks about position groups, like he's excited about this. He's excited about his wide receivers, the quarterback, blah, blah, blah. Offensive line, he is scared to death. He hasn't said a word about him. And even, you know, I think Travis Hunter made fun of him, like, nationally. That offensive line is
That can't be good.
No.
Sanders was...
I think there's some locker room issues going on there. This is another team where
could there not be?
They've got 43 transfers coming in, and this is a tough North Dakota State year in and year out is a solid team that just keeps guys in. They get them in as freshmen, and then they start hitting the field as, like, sophomores and juniors and seniors, and they've all played together. I think this is kind of a bad matchup for Colorado to open the season with.
I think it's going to be real interesting. Is it Shadur?
Mm-hmm.
To watch from the very first snap, Shadur Sanders. I feel like that this kid has a lot on his shoulders right now from all the off-season stuff, Lamborghinis, this, that, and the other, all the social media stuff. What are you talking about? Practice? You know, the Iverson, some of the things that he said, and I'm like, man, you are just adding more fuel to the fire for yourself. Just keep it quiet and play football, and you're going to probably get drafted. Da, da, da. But I want to know how much he's been working for real in the offseason, and it's going to show. Now, this is North Dakota State, so he should be on all cylinders popping no matter what. He's not going up against, you know, one of the bigger schools coming at him this year. But I really do think it all, obviously, he's the quarterback. It all starts with him. But I just feel like he's had one of them off seasons where he's been on the yacht. He's been here. He's been there. And I want to see how much he's buying in to having a grind out, bowl-making season.
I think, honestly, Deion, as flashy and he is, as obnoxious as he is, I think when it comes to his kids, he definitely knows how to coach these guys.
Right.
I mean, you can't take for granted what he did at, like, Jackson State down
right,
there.
Right, right.
I mean, they were dominant down there at that level. And then he goes out last year and shocks the world early against TCU, which right. ended up being a letdown. But those first four games that Colorado played last year, we were all, like, on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Like, this is insane.
I know.
And
I'm thinking you just have – they have problems with –
I still
with
have my sweatshirt.
Yeah,
my
they have
Buffalo
a problem
sweatshirt.
With consistency. You know, it's either up – or it's way down, way up, or high on the hog, or we're down low. And he's got to get that consistent grind. Like, and I think he's learning just like his players are, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Of what his conference is all about.
And by the way, you were absolutely right. I look up on...
Call him the Greek.
FanDuel, and Illinois is a 27.5-point favorite. 27.5 points.
So,
favorite.
But he's not on the hot seat.
Who? Oh, as soon as Shadur's gone, he's leaving Colorado
I'm talking
anyway.
About Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
Belima's back on. He's famous.
Yeah, just. Yeah.
His wife buys him another couple years.
Just cancel any of that you might have heard.
But I'm going to keep an eye on that game now. Well, I mean, we have to.
I know. Now I have to bet.
Watch it be an upset
now
or so.
I have to bet. Now I have to bet on Eastern Illinois to cover that spread. Because I believed that at a pick'em, maybe that is the right thing to say. Clearly, I know nothing about Illinois or Eastern Illinois. But I will tell you, I am now betting on Eastern Illinois to cover the 27.5.
We'll just talk to the guy that edits the show. We'll just take that part.
Colin's all over that bet, too.
I honestly thought that I was going to make it through the entire day without someone asking me about the Eastern Illinois State game. I was wrong.
I blew that.
So
back to your North Dakota State.
Yeah,
they were 10-2 last year.
Uh-huh. Right,
finished 11-2.
Yes,
scored over 50 points 5 times mm-hmm. last year, and they got a lot of starters back. They're going to put up points.
Yeah,
in the over under 60 on that game.
I think
is that at Colorado?
It's at Boulder. Colorado.
Okay.
I think this is a game. Even though I put some money on them at 9.5, I'm just gonna maybe just try to ignore that and just kind of watch this game for what it is and see what Deion's gonna bring to the table. This because I think a bigger matchup than what TCU.
What time
was
is
last
that
year.
Game?
8 o'clock.
Same time as Carolina, Minnesota.
Yep. So Carolina, Minnesota, I believe, is on Fox, correct?
Yes.
And then this game's on ESPN.
Okay. Should we talk about TCU Stanford on Friday?
Buddy, if you want to, I'll sit this one out and go to the bathroom.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. It's at 10:30 on Friday, among other games, but I don't think there's anything to talk about there, really. TCU, I think, is going to have a much better season than last year. I think last year they never got back on track when Georgia whooped them by 50 in the championship game. And I think this year they are going to reboot and come out and make a bowl game possibly.
I think
this year.
And then Friday night, there's two other games that like would be worth watching, actually. Florida Atlantic at Michigan State. It's curious to see Michigan State's new look offense.
I know you love them.
I kind of am going to pull for them a little bit this year. Then Western Michigan from the MAC, the Broncos, is heading to Wisconsin to play the Badgers. And, Freddie, you've got a little interest in that.
I do.
Because the Bama will be traveling to Camp Randall Stadium in
a few weeks.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yes,
you can get your first look at Wisconsin.
And
Tyler Van Dyke was the name I was thinking of.
Tyler Van Dyke.
I was like, who is the quarterback up there now?
Yeah.
And
right.
He was awful at Miami.
Right, right.
So people
right.
will tell you he was good, but they're lying. He
right.
was bad.
And they still have the running back there that is, he's been a Heisman on the Heisman top 10 for 2 years.
I think any running back at Wisconsin
is that Braylon Allen?
Gets automatic Heisman consideration. But yes, he's
because their line is normally huge. It'll be interesting to see. Yeah. That will be a game that I definitely want to take a peek at. Matter of fact, just so you know, I had an opportunity to possibly go to that game. Bama, week 3.
Oh,
Bama at
Wisconsin.
Dude,
you should go to that.
Well, it's at noon, man.
Jump around.
I don't know. Driving all the way up there and then going and trying to tailgate for a noon game. I know those
that
fans
Clemson
are crazy.
Game we go to may be a noon game.
But, well, yeah. Well, that's different. That's pizza. So. Pizza and breadsticks.
Let me ask you this, Tuna. Does anybody have any thoughts on the noon game Saturday in Nashville? Virginia Tech
at Vandy.
At
13.
Vandy.
That's an interesting game.
Is a weird, like that's a weird spot to be in, I think.
I think I have thoughts on it, and we'll cover that at the end when we're doing our picks. But
oh, my. Oh, my God.
Dude, Virginia
Is it still a construction zone down there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, Virginia Tech.
I got to see this Virginia. This is another. This is another one. You can't be talking about winning the ACC and then be concerned about going and playing Vanderbilt in Nashville. You got to get down there. You got to handle business and get back to it. That's just the way it's got to go. But I am curious to see what Vanderbilt's got. What's their name? Clark Lee. Every year he'll tell you they're going to be the best team in the SEC. So, I appreciate his confidence. And that's got to be a little scary for Virginia Tech to hear that. But
I hope they beat him by 100.
I wouldn't mind it. I mean, I'm fine with it.
Just so you all know, we took Virginia Tech. We took Virginia Tech right after Georgia Tech.
I will say, I think the Kyren Drones love is getting a little too hot for Virginia Tech.
Yep.
Like, people forget how bad he was early last year. The last 5-6 games, he clicked and then, like, turned great.
Yeah.
But, like, he's got to be consistent.
What's the under over on that game?
48.5.
I love the under in that one, too.
All right. Last year, Travis had this secondary team, the Washington Huskies. This year, mine, according to Matt, is the Arizona Wildcats.
Yes.
They are a 31-point favorite.
Yes.
This weekend.
Okay. Who are they playing? Who? Austin Peay.
I had it pulled up. New Mexico.
New Mexico.
The team we seen
the
play
team
last
we
week.
Saw last week.
With a little fight
Whoa,
to
them. Oh, yeah.
I'll
yeah.
tell you right now, if they beat them by how many points did
31.
You say?
31. And the over under is
only
58.
31.
I give them respect.
They are,
immediately.
I will.
They
Jed are, Fish era has started.
Well, he's already
mean,
in Washington.
I mean, not Jed Fish. What's his name?
Hell, I already forgot his
Don't
name.
Don't we know his name?
Yeah, we do.
They're officially on the top tier.
I know their quarterback, Fafita.
If they cover that game.
And it comes on right about the end
Brett
of the UK
Brennan.
Game.
Brett Brennan.
That's what we Brett talked Brennan. About him last week.
The Brett Brennan era.
What, he's from Georgia?
Brett Brennan came from San Jose State.
Oh, that's what it was. San Jose State. Yep.
West Coast offensive
Syracuse's
tack.
Coach came from Georgia.
Man, I don't know. I feel like we've hit some... Almost all of them. I mean,
yeah. Who's Nebraska
minute,
play?
We got to talk about Sunday, dude.
They play UTEP.
So we got in my. In,
oh shit! I already forgot about Sunday.
So
night.
We got two more games to talk about. Let's be quiet. We'll get to USC LSU. We got to talk about that. Boston College, Florida State, Tuna. That now. Well, I guess we'll go USC LSU because that's on Sunday. The other game's on Monday, Labor Day. Mm-hmm. So. What do you all think about USC? A lot of people have them as their maybe fifth in the conference, Big Ten. A sleeper, Saban has them as a sleeper. Herb Street has them as a sleeper. And then LSU, kind of like the 6th, 7th team that we had in our in the SEC. I think they're two damn evenly matched teams.
Well, yeah, there's no defense on this. These
right.
Teams. Well,
right.
Last year there was no defense.
Right.
And there has been rumors coming out of Los Angeles that they have been seen tackling in practice, which is something they didn't do last year. And
wow.
I'm not joking.
No.
That's like
I hear
that's
you.
Not actually a joke. Like that's a real thing. So, and I know LSU was tackling in practice. They just couldn't do it in games. So, I don't know what's going to – the over-under in this is 64.5. The spread is LSU favored by 4.5. I don't think I know either one of these teams well enough to bet a spread bet in this. I may just throw a couple bucks on the over just because I think it'll be fun to watch.
I think the over is a good great pick. What is the over again? Say that again.
64.5.
Oh,
it's a
Lord.
Big number.
Woo!
It's a big
okay.
number.
Okay. I mean, USC even lost their best corner. He's,
I mean,
he's
you're talking a
35-30
game, which is not out of the realm of possibility.
And is Miller Moss going to go for
Miller
his
Moss.
Record of 6 touchdowns, starting his second start? LSU's defense, they got Missouri's head defensive coordinator and all his staff. They were fantastic last year in the SEC. So something has to be positive defensive-wise with LSU.
Yeah, this is a matchup of bowl game superstar quarterbacks. Garrett Nussmeier looked
right.
great
and
for
Garrett
LSU.
Right.
Miller Moss looked
Garrett
great.
Garrett Nussmeier.
For, yeah.
If you don't, folks, if you don't know the quarterback that is backed up, the Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden McDaniels, if you don't think that he's just some newcomer, you better guess again. Garrett Nussmeier is a slinger, just like Miller Moss for USC. And, I mean, we've seen him have great games. Like, who's this dude when he's like, when Jaden McDaniels sat out or got hurt? Or remember he got hurt one game?
Yeah, Nussmeier's been down there for a while. He
dude.
Just toughed it out and sat. And,
dude,
and it
yeah.
wasn't just Jaden Daniels
he was
behind.
I pull for him. I pull for that kid.
Yeah, I think he's hard not to pull for him, honestly.
Right, right. And I do know from our buddy Johnny down there, videographer, mm-hmm. that he that the defense is looking better. Obviously, it will. I do know they start a wide receiver, five-star, and a wide receiver corner, but he's like, they're just not there yet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're just not there yet. They're young.
It's a tough game to break in right there.
LSU has a great tight end. They have a great defensive line.
Where is this game played at?
Some of those.
This surely is not in Baton Rouge, is it? Allegiant Stadium. That is that Jacksonville? Or is that Charlotte, North Carolina?
I don't have any idea where that is. That's Houston.
Okay. Well, that's where their game's at. Because I was going to say, if this was in Baton Rouge.
Well, don't think that. How many LSU fans do you think would be there versus
USC? Well, they basically all live in Houston now. I think a lot of transplants after Katrina. That was a big sanctuary city for them or whatever.
I'm taking the Tigers on this one, guys. And I think it's going to be it really is a intriguing game, man. It really is, especially for a good Sunday with the day off the next day on Labor Day.
I would, there's just something about a 4-point spread, and I just don't know with these teams.
I'm with you. I'm betting the over.
I feel like this is a game where, like, if I have an excellent weekend, I'm going to bet money on LSU to cover that.
I'll definitely
bet the over. I'm not going to force that bet, but I am going to throw some money on the over because I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
And then I know that I almost called you Matt Campbell a minute ago because you're wearing your Iowa State T-shirt.
Yeah, buddy. Go Cyclones.
Tuna, head coach of Iowa State. But I know that you're also a Bill O'Brien guy.
Boston College, right?
Yeah. So on Monday,
truth to that.
You have at 7:30 Boston College versus Florida State, among maybe other games. I don't know, but what do you think of this one?
I think this is a get right game for Florida State. Okay. I think they've got a lot of film, and I think they can go back and analyze all the mistakes they made against Georgia Tech. It's not going to be as physical as the Georgia Tech game is. They're going to be able to utilize a little bit more speed. I think Jalen Lucas we're going to get to see him and Roy Dell actually get their games
right
that they wanted. DJ, I'd like to see him be able to push the ball downfield a little bit more. I think he'll have the time in this game to actually throw the ball a little bit. I like Florida State to actually easily cover this 15.5.
Right, right. That's a must win for them.
Yeah.
Every game is, but if you come off a loss, you got to beat BC coming to your home.
It's definitely a get-right game. I think, you know, the guys have been locked in because they can't come out and have anything close here. Like, I think your season goes haywire if this game's down to the wire.
That's what I was about to say. It's not just a must win.
Yeah.
It's a must cover.
Yes.
Right, right.
You have to cover this.
Yes.
You have to. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that that's even enough.
Yeah. But you got to look good.
At the bare minimum, you have to cover it, right?
Absolutely.
Don't mess with Bill O'Brien, though, dog.
Speaking of that, real quick, I just want a quick answer. Out of all the talking about covering games, out of all the big spread games, like, you know, 44.5, 48.5, what team you think will cover that?
I was going to actually ask here in a minute, of all our local teams that have big spreads,
mm-hmm.
whether it be Indiana, Louisville, Alabama, or Kentucky, who is more likely to cover the spread of those teams, Tuna?
Well, I'm going to – what's Kentucky's 28 over Southern Miss?
And I'll give you a little tidbit. Southern Miss won 2 games last year.
Yeah.
Barely. And got destroyed.
They were bad. Yeah,
New Mexico was kind of the same way, and Nevada was kind of the same way. So it's like some of these teams that were so bad the year before – you almost like scary. And then Austin Peay, I don't know shit about them. And nobody in this room does. So I don't think that Louisville, I can't say anything about 36.5. I wouldn't touch that. And then what's Bama favorite over Western Kentucky?
What is it? 20,
20-something?
26.
No, I think it's more than that. I think I use like 21 and a half. I'll look up Bama real quick.
Yeah, let me see if I can find Bama on here. I use 21 and a half against.
Yep.
I think
FIU.
I'm telling you.
Man, Florida International and Miami boys down there seem to usually always have something going
on. Alabama's 32.
Yeah, dude.
I would say Alabama.
I think Western Kentucky is going to sling the ball around, dude. The Kalen DeBoer first time ever.
I'm going to say IU.
What's going to happen?
I'm saying Kurt Cignetti comes out and wins this, and they're the most likely to cover the 21.5.
What's the Louisville spread?
36.5. That's just – it's absurd.
That's too many.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm going IU.
Yeah, I think that's the answer.
I think all of them do except for Louisville.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. Like, I could
UK
see all of them.
And IU all cover.
I could easily see UK covering at 28. I just don't know anything. Like, there's a lot of question marks for me.
I think Alabama's playing the best team of all of the teams we are playing. They went to a bowl win last year.
They did.
They are consistently a good team in their conference. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they've won their conference.
I will say some of those kids, man, they get down there at Bryant-Denny Stadium.
You know
and,
what's
funny
about
they're like stars in the skies. Like, what the hell is going on?
I know.
Right now?
And you know what's funny, though, too, is something that a lot of people don't know is a lot of kids in Bowling Green, they either go to Western, Tennessee, or Bama.
I know. Yeah.
A lot of Bowling Green kids go to Bama. A lot. So, or they stay at home. So that is a really cool game. There's going to be so many families that'll be down there that are used to going down. It's going to be that would be a really, really cool game to actually go to start the season. I wish it was later on in the season and I would go to that game.
Well, maybe Bama could come up to Western and play one day.
I would love
that.
That'd
be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Bro Tide. Drink.
So we have all that going on, and I know that we're going to have our time is of the essence. We wanted to talk about the NFL, and we are getting ready to go from the NFL. We've got one more week.
1 week from this Thursday, the Chiefs and the Raiders, or the Chiefs and the Ravens kick off.
Okay.
Wait, the Chiefs are filming a movie. They don't have time for the Raiders.
Buddy,
they are going for a three-peat. They ain't got time for nobody. They're taking pictures.
We can win Super Bowls and film movies at the same time.
But what I thought I would ask you guys is just quickly, as the season is getting ready to start, who is going to win every division in the NFL? And I'm going to start with you, Tuna.
All right, let's just go. Let's start with the AFC East. This one's going to be a little tricky. You've got a couple of tough teams. Like, I think you can rule New England out, and then you got Buffalo, Miami, and the Jets.
I got mine.
Call me a little crazy here, but I think I'm going to go with the Jets to pull this one off.
Mm,
as crazy
really?
As that sounds, yeah. Mm. Fred?
Oh, I'm Buffalo all the way.
Okay.
I think Buffalo, and I don't care that Josh Allen doesn't have wide receivers. They're going to find him. Joe Brady is there. You know how much I love this guy. Offensive coordinator. They got close. They were hot. Talk about a team that was – no one was hotter than they were at the end of the season except maybe the Chiefs. And they lost, apparently, and came up short against the Chiefs. But their season was almost in shambles. And for them to come back and do what they're doing, and you got a quarterback, you know, that top 100 list came out today, ESPN greatest top 100 players. Josh Allen is one of the top five, in my opinion. He runs. If he's on the 10, the 5, he's running it in. He will find that offense. I'm not worried about it. And the defense is there. I have Buffalo.
Can't go wrong with that pick.
Jody?
That division, I also go with Buffalo.
I have Miami.
Great pick, because that's who I would have taken if not. How can you not take Waddle, Tyreek Hill, Tua's happier than he's ever been.
A-Chain, Raheem Mostert.
And Tuna loves the coach. He goes to parties with him.
They were great last year.
Gold on.
They just couldn't play in like negative 30 degree
weather.
And
they still can't.
Yeah.
They still can't. So
they better win and get some home field advantage.
If they can ever get home field advantage, I think they could get it done. But we'll see.
I will say the reason I went with the Jets there, because if you asked artificial intelligence who has the best rosters in the NFL,
the
Chiefs are number one,
you're right,
and the Jets are number two.
No. Hey. Hey, you didn't elaborate on that, but I know why you took the Jets, because, dude, they've got great running back, mm-hmm. great wide receivers.
Defense.
Their defense is maybe the best in the NFL. They have the best cover corner, Sauce Gardner. And, oh, by the way, their quarterback is Aaron Rodgers.
And last year, without Aaron Rodgers, they did split with Buffalo and did split with the Dolphins.
Right. So I think we all have good picks.
Yeah.
That's
a
tough
division. And we're going to roll right into another tough division. This is the AFC North.
Damn right.
What do we do here? I think it's hard to pick against Baltimore
totally.
With what they did last year. And then they just added Derrick Henry to the table.
Yeah,
I don't know how you defend that. Like, I'm curious to see how Spags goes about defending this on night one.
I'm curious how they're going to run the offense with him and Lamar.
That's what's
who
so
runs
scary.
The ball all the time.
Where do you line your guys up with? How many do you put in the box? Who drops back? Like, it's.
I'm gonna tell you one thing. You wait and see at the beginning of the year. I guarantee you, there's going to be some fumbles. Dude, the way Lamar runs with the ball, trying to hand it off to Henry, now I'm
hopefully it's Thursday night they do a lot of that.
Dude, it's going to be interesting to see how that works, because Lamar is not used to having to hand off to a guy that big.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll figure it out.
He's a two-time MVP. So, of course he will. But, man,
you're taking the Ravens in that one?
Oh, for sure, yeah. Dude. I've been saying the Bengals are going to have an off season. Chase is still hurt. We got an offensive line banged
up.
Yeah,
offensive
line
issues there.
Well, who's our running back?
He's out. Chase Brown.
I know.
Jody?
As far as I'm concerned, Derrick Henry is retired until I see him in a uniform, but I'm taking the Ravens in that division.
I am too.
All right. That was a clean sweep. I thought that would be mixed a little bit there, here and there. But, all right, and then the next one I think is going to be a consensus. AFC South, Houston Texans.
You really do?
Yeah, I mean, I know he's a Colts
fan. Dude, the
fan,
Houston Texans.
We got a Titans fan down here as well.
I'm going to go with him, and you and I will talk about him for a minute, because I really want to hear Travis's perspective.
That's another
on
team.
This.
I don't know how you defend.
But, dude, the Texans – I mean, okay, you got Stroud, Tank Dell, you got
Nico Collins,
and who's the third?
Stephon Diggs. And John Metchie III, who had an amazing preseason.
Right. I mean, come on.
I don't know how you defend it. Joe Mixon's down there running the ball now, like with them.
But that's why they play the game.
It is, but that's
– Jody?
I mean, I'm going with the Texans. I will say this about my Titans. I picked them for 5 games at the beginning of the season. There's something I'm looking at now saying they're only going to win 2. I think the Titans win at least 8 games, though. But
what is your – because you're in Travis. Because we really need your all's perspective on this. I didn't talk a lot about the Bengals because they're hurt.
I think
and
it's the easiest
up,
division to pick, honestly.
Who is your all's running back this year with Henry gone?
I know you're going
to
ask that.
I don't know. I wasn't trying to throw you off. I don't really know.
I think they just brought back Bishop Sankey.
I really don't
know,
honestly.
Well, dude, but y'all still have a good franchise.
We had a really good
offseason. Fired their coach.
We had a really good offseason.
I liked Vrabel, man. I hated seeing Vrabel go.
That was the worst decision in the NFL last year.
Right.
Getting fired. But
yeah,
Texans
and I think what you guys are going to see is that all these other teams that you guys are talking up, I mean, we've always heard about, oh, this year is the year for the Houston. They're going to do this. Every year they get their brains beat in by the Colts. This year will be no different. They're going to get their brains beat in by the Colts.
I don't know. Gardner Minshew ain't walking through that door.
Like it happens every year. I mean, every year they get their brains beat in. This year, it's the Colts. The Colts are going to make the AFC Championship game.
AR-18 is ready to go. Is that his number, AR-18?
I believe it's 15.
AR-15. And I'm really excited to see him. Poor kid was playing great, and then he got hurt. Out for the year.
But they put him in a situation to die every time.
But you know what? I think some teams need to do that. I've been preaching that with Bryce Young. He can make people miss. You've got to let him get defenses off kilter and let him run a little bit.
But the thing with Anthony Richardson is, I mean, and if you go back and listen to our show, I mean, I was the one that said, I think he has the highest ceiling of any of those quarterbacks, but he's never played, I don't think since he was a junior in high school, he's had a year where he was healthy.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, it's, I hate to say it, but we've seen it. It happened last year. It happened his first year.
Fred, update for you. Our starting running back is a guy that was on your fantasy football team last year.
Oh, mercy.
That played for Dallas.
Johnny.
Oh,
United.
Pollard.
Yeah.
Tony okay.
Pollard. Yeah. I knew
he's
that.
A catch run guy.
All right. So
next.
We're going to go. Y'all, you want to do the AFC West? I think
yes,
this is a given.
Please.
I mean, Chiefs. I mean, I don't even, like, who's going to beat the Chiefs?
Well,
in this division?
I don't think anyone is, but I do think the Broncos are going to be much improved.
How do you think the Chargers are going to do with Jim Harbaugh there? And
I think they're all going to wear, they're all going to be wearing Dockers.
I like that some of the team got stuck in the elevator. And then Jim Harbaugh was all broken up. He was like, I wish I could have been stuck in the elevator with those guys.
Oh, God.
So, does anyone else have anything about that division?
Over the America, I guess, it's a 50-50 split between Denver and KC.
What?
Like, who's going to win that division?
Well, God, that just shows how stupid America is.
But I would say Kansas
Like,
he
City. Can't pick Denver to even, can, like, well, anyway.
Knicks.
Yeah.
I think it's either Kansas City or San Diego, or whatever.
The Chargers, yeah.
Okay,
the Chargers
see, I think are. Sean, I think the Peyton really showed me something at the end of the year with Denver making winning, railing off 6 wins.
Yeah, I just don't think he's going to take Bo Nix and beat the Chiefs
know,
twice.
I know, but Bo Nix has played pretty damn good.
Yeah, he's averaging like 4 yards a pass.
Okay.
That's the problem with it. Okay. No, I mean, I think he has.
I mean, Jerry Jeudy, is he still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's not going to get wins for them. Okay.
I think, I think I will say Bo Nix has looked sharp. Like, he really has. But he has not been asked to throw the ball downfield a lot.
That's
so,
right.
I got it. And really, I mean, you're just not going to take a rookie quarterback and beat the Chiefs in this division. That's not just a homer talk.
No, it's done.
That's a 2-time Super
win,
Bowl champ.
Period.
So, all right. Moving on to the NFC. The NFC East. This one's, I think, a two-horse race here. I think Washington could make things interesting. I feel like Philly has too many weapons here, and Mike McCarthy, I can't pick him to really do anything.
Yeah.
He just lets me down nonstop.
Sirianni's let the reins go. He's now got, what's his name from Boise
Jahan,
State?
Oh.
No, Kellen... The offensive coordinator.
No, he's in Dallas.
No, I thought
he's calling the plays in Dallas now, isn't he?
I thought.
Kellen Moore?
No, he's with the Eagles.
Okay.
And Sirianni's let go of that offense, and he is – check that out again, but I'm pretty sure if he's there, then that's the reasoning that I'm going with the Eagles. I think that Jalen Hurts was hurt at the end of the year, and –
I guess he was fired by the Cowboys last year or two years ago, and Philly hired him.
But he didn't. But now he's going to have full reign, and he is a great offensive coordinator. I'm going with the Eagles here over a Cowboy team that, you know, I heard today on talk radio or whatever that the Cowboys, Jerry Jones, man, you want to talk about maybe a guy that's not the best, and I don't want to get into it because they already talked about it, so people have heard it, but he. Talk about a great general manager more so than an owner. Think of some of the draft picks that Dallas has made. They've been unbelievable. Micah Parsons drafted. Think of all the players that they've gotten. They have
a
great
Dak
nucleus.
Was a steal in the fourth round.
Yeah, they have a great nucleus of players. They've got to figure out how to get over that hump.
Yeah, I think Mike McCarthy's probably going to catch
with,
a stray
it's
from
on that. On a poor man's scale, it's Dion with Colorado. You got to be consistent and get over that hump and get into the playoffs and not look like a bunch of clowns out there. When they play in the playoffs, they look like clowns.
They do. Everything's magnified.
I don't understand what is the deal with that.
I don't know. They do the dumbest stuff ever when
I'll
it's
go
a
with
time.
Eagles.
I think I'm going Eagles there also. So
I will never cheer for the Cowboys. I really, really, really want to cheer for the Giants for Colin. I really do.
Colin,
they're
mad
not
going to
be good, dude. They're be terrible. I got to go with the Eagles, especially picking up Saquon.
You guys are
going to
get a really good draft pick, Colin.
They were great on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Cowboys.
There you go.
I'm taking the Cowboys.
Tony Dorsett.
Just because they were my favorite team when I was a kid. I never get to pick them. And this year, I'm picking them. And that's the only reason that I have.
I hear you, Moose.
I'm taking the Cowboys. NFC West.
The West.
Woo,
I think this West is San Francisco's division. Obviously, the Rams can be a little scary. Matt Stafford's still Matt Stafford. That guy's,
who's the new coach for the Seahawks? Pete Carroll's gone.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
Do you know his name?
Uh-uh.
Wink Martindale?
Yes, no. It's Wink Martindale. But either way, like Geno, he's looked great, and he's got some weapons. I think he's looked really good, man.
Dude, come on.
If you look at DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and then you got Kenneth Walker running the ball up there with Zach Charbonnet backing him up, that's a loaded up
offense.
They have
a coach that motivates them like Carroll did. I don't know.
Well, he just chewed gum a lot.
But he was a motivator.
He was a great dude. He was a great coach.
I'm a Pete Carroll fan.
Yeah.
He did cheat in college a little bit, but who doesn't? Allegedly. I had to throw that in there.
I love it.
But, dude, come on. 49ers have been knocking on the door to win a Super Bowl, and they will be there again. I don't care if Brandon Ayuk's playing or not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Ayuk,
this team's way too talented to not win it.
Yeah.
I'm worried. Like, Brock Purdy is just the guy that, like, I still can't wrap my head around the fact that he's good. But he is. And he's got to stay healthy.
Right.
That's the thing. Like,
right. That's true.
He's got to stay healthy for them to be good.
And, man, the next
it's
divisions.
Just weird for me to think in my brain that he is what makes that offense tick.
What about you guys on that?
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah.
We didn't get who they like in that division.
Oh, Frisco.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any doubt.
Yeah.
Okay, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah. Now, the next two are going to be interesting, Travis.
I think one of them, really.
Which one are we doing,
I think
Travis?
One of them's easy and the other one's interesting.
Freddie, I would let you go ahead.
All right, let's do NFC North.
Okay.
Dude, I don't know what's going to happen here. And I know that you are, and I'm not talking about the Bears who have weapons and a rookie quarterback that's looking very good and a decent defense. Oh my God, the Packers and the Lions is what I'm really struggling on, because the Packers, Jordan Love, the receivers, everything
Jordan
they
Love
did
fan.
Last year in the playoffs when they made Dallas look silly. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but man, the Lions, they got everybody.
I think I have to go with the Lions here. That was just, they were in the NFC Championship game last year.
I am too.
And barely lost out there
to
the 49ers.
I'm with you.
Dan Campbell, it's just,
I'm with you.
There's just so much there, man. And I feel like they are just dangerous as hell.
I have to go with the Lions for a reason that's in my envelope, if you will. So I'm definitely going with the Lions to win that division.
Know what Freddie's envelope says.
I want to go with you all, but I think Detroit's going to have a letdown.
AFC.
And I think the Packers win that division.
Okay.
This year.
Okay. Good choice.
I could. I mean, I could easily see that. So.
Who's the Vikings quarterback?
Well, is it Sam Darnold now?
Okay, Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I guess he's
going. I think the Vikings with Justin Jefferson may finish last in that division.
Well, I think they have to in that division because their defense is not good.
Right.
They've got some good receivers.
They don't have Thielen anymore. He's gone.
No, but Jordan Addison's there. And KJ Osborne's a good three.
No, they're good.
And if Addison, that's the thing, I think he just messed his ankle up, and then he's got that DUI he's probably going to have to do some suspension time for.
Troubles in Minnesota. Troubles. They are not rowing the boat in Minnesota.
No, it's going to be rough there. Rough go for them. And that's a thick division.
And then the biggest crapshoot division, in my opinion, by far.
See,
You know who I'm picking here? Nobody.
I think Tampa Bay runs away with this one fairly
really?
Easily. I really do, okay. Man. I kind of like this Tampa team. Baker Mayfield found a home, dude. And if there's a guy that fits in somewhere in Florida more than Baker Mayfield,
right.
Like it's perfect.
And
for
he
him.
Looked. They were in the playoffs, right, guys?
Yeah.
I could not agree more. It's Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
1,000%.
I think Atlanta could be a fun team in this one, too.
Think Atlanta could be a fun team.
I mean,
you're
Kirk
right,
Cousins bro. There. They obviously have some offensive weapons.
And they might have another guy that could potentially end up playing quarterback there.
It's very possible.
At some point in the season, which we can talk about later.
Yes.
We're not going to get into that now.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of have a feeling about that.
Yeah, could be. Could be. I'm going Tampa there, Freddie.
Oh,
nobody.
Oh, Tampa Bay okay. For sure. Yeah,
I think that division's like the AFC South. I think it's Tampa all day long. Easiest division in NFC.
Okay,
I love that.
There's that.
Has everybody gotten their little things in that we're going to put in the
envelopes?
Yeah.
Yes, our predictions. Yeah, we're good to go.
We got three college football predictions and a pro, and we're putting it in an envelope.
Oh, I didn't put a pro in.
We will open it up at the end. And
well, you don't necessarily have to do that.
And whoever has the best record of the four gets
what? We get
something? I don't know what we get. We get something.
A box of tuna helper.
Maybe.
Case of Thousand Island.
I'll take a case of High Noons.
that's like I had to take a loan out for that. Those
damn
things ain't
right
cheap, buddy.
It is the end of the evening here. We are in the downstairs pub, and it is time for last call. So, last call, Tuna. What do you got?
Oh, boys, do I have an event for you? Labor Day weekend. Labor Day itself, Sunday, September 2nd. We have a battle royale that will be live on Netflix. This will be Joey Chestnut versus Kobayashi in a hot dog eating showdown live at 3 p.m. It's a nice warm up for a football game.
That's when I'm going to dip my High Noon in my hot dog. That's when I'm going to do it.
I thought he didn't
see me doing
it. I thought he ate fake meat now, like signed with
someone.
No, they
both do.
Well, that was Nathan's
they
wouldn't let him compete in their hot dog eating contest, which is the big one up there.
When is
this? This is a Netflix special. This is all beef, too.
All beef.
It's the Kobayashi Joey Chestnut.
Oh, my
gosh. They still got beef.
I am so psyched.
Sunday night?
Sunday at 3.
Oh, okay.
It's a nice midday extravaganza, guys.
Oh, my God. I am pumped
that's
for
right
that.
That's right before a draft.
No, well, we draft
At four.
Oh, this is Monday at 3. I'm sorry. This is actual Labor Day.
Monday at 3. Yeah. So that is right before the BCFSU game. Yeah, okay.
What a way to get going for that one.
Perfect, man.
All right, Freddie.
I just want to let everyone know that the Midsummer Derby was ran this weekend. I know I talked about making history with Dornick and everybody, and then I look on the board when I'm already hot on my unders and Georgia Tech and Nevada, but this is before some of that, but I'm like, fierceness? 8-1? What? I think I might take it. And I did. And I put 30 on that to win. I did have Dornick as well. But Fierceness comes in and wins in an insane battle with Torpedo Anna, who will be ready in her next race. I mean, it was a fantastic horse race. She dug in. Every horse had their spot, and they were in their spot coming around the turn. Sierra Leone was there. He got 30. Still can't get it done. Dornick was fourth. Everybody was there, and Fierceness has won his last two and moving on to possibly in a battle with Dornick and Torpedo Anna for Horse of the Year. The Alan Jurgens, if you listened to the last podcast, you also won on Freddie's pick, Domestic Product. I was hot Saturday, folks. And that was it, but great races at Saratoga. I actually hit 4 in a row, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but I was hot
nice.
At the end.
Hell yeah.
Yes. Awesome. Then we've got one other thing I wanted to say that I've kind of waited on this because I wanted to make sure that it was all finalized and so forth. But to our man in Leeds, to everyone in Europe, to everyone in South America, the United States men's national team has a new head man. And his name is Mauricio Pochettino.
Don't get more American than that.
And I will never say La Familia again. It's now Mauricio Pochettino. And he is from Argentina. Ooh, that's a plus. He coached at Tottenham. He coached for Spurs, which is, Tottenham Hotspur, which is Spurs. He taught at Chelsea. He played for PSG. This guy is a legend, a defensive-minded guy that likes to attack from the middle and have quick attacks based on how the defense works. Can't wait. Everyone, be ready for the U.S. men's national team in 2 years. That's it.
I love that. Jody, what do you have?
I did a little today in history. Might be boring to some, but I find it interesting from time to time. Brian Epstein passed away. Do you all know who that is?
Well, yeah.
The Beatles manager, 1967.
Yes, yes.
LBJ was born today, 1908.
LeBron James?
1908. Yeah, he's about that old, it seems like. The Rainbow Bridge was completed in 1993. Do y'all know what that is?
No.
Suspension bridge over Tokyo Bay. Here's the key. It's only 1,870 feet long. The longest suspension bridge in history.
Heard
currently,
they have short bridges over there.
It's 116,000 feet long, which is 22 miles. So it's 22 miles over water.
I don't know if I'd. Wow.
That would scare the hell out of me.
Yeah.
So that was today in history.
Damn. I don't want to go across that bridge.
Colin is taking Notre Dame +3, South Alabama -5. Miami of Ohio at +3. My pick, as it relates to this weekend, is whatever the Indiana's point spread is, we're going to take it. We're going to ride it. They're going to dominate whatever the point spread is. 21.5. I think Indiana wins by 35. I cannot wait. This weekend is going to be great. Quite frankly, we talked about it last year, and this season it seems like with the Olympics we were able to get to the point of having college football once again a little bit quicker. Do you guys have anything to say relative to the start, the real start of this season?
Well, I was just curious, like, do you guys have any, like, traditions or anything that you do, like, during game week? Like, any, like, there's a movie that I watch every year before college football season. The Program.
I love that.
And like, I don't know why. It's just something about it. The scene when they're all sitting around and they're talking what they love most about college football. So, like,
I don't, but just because of that, because I do love this movie, I'm watching Varsity Blues this week.
There you go.
Awesome. Fred.
As you know, the Capstone and the Garage Bar are always open on the first week of college football. One of the best things I like to do is put my Alabama flag up.
Rotate.
And then it is always get my coffee, sit outside on the patio, listen to game day at the beginning for a while, and then start prepping food and getting the backyard and everything ready for the games. And that is what I love.
I love it. Man, cannot wait for the end of for the rest of this week to carry on. If you enjoy the show, please talk to your friends. Let them know that you enjoy the show, how to find us. For the Poet Laureate, Whiteboard Jody, the big fellow of the Tuna Country, Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody. We'll be right back.